Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've caused all scripture to be written for our benefit. We pray this morning that as we look at your word, you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to obey what you say to us in it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of years ago, Steph and I were in Hong Kong, and we went along to a McDonald's, and we just wanted a drink, so we went to the counter and we ordered a lemonade. What would you expect if you ordered lemonade? You'd think, okay, it's going to be a fizzy drink, it's going to be clear in colour, it's going to be sweet, it's not really going to taste like lemons, but that's okay because lemonade never does. You know, that's what lemonade is. Instead, what we got was something that wasn't fizzy, it was kind of dark in colour, and it did actually taste of lemons. What we actually got when we asked for lemonade was actually a lot more like an iced lemon tea. Words have different meanings according to the place that you go. Words change their meaning from country to country. We found that out. We thought we were going to get lemonade. Well, we got lemonade, but it was actually what we would call iced lemon tea. Even going from not even one country to another country, you can find the same phenomenon happening. Lemonade is just one example of that. And I think we're going to experience that a little bit as we think about two words in particular today, the words evangelism and outreach. So first of all, we're going to think a little bit about evangelism. So first of all, what is evangelism? Well, it's telling someone the gospel. That seems fairly obvious, I would have thought. Surely that's not a particularly controversial way to say what evangelism is. But actually, in some circles, you've already got a point of debate. Because some would say that a person's deeds, what they do is evangelism just as much as the actual speaking of the gospel, the words used, whether it's written word or spoken word. Now, you might have heard of a quote. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and it goes something like this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That is, your deeds preach the gospel just as much, and perhaps even more effectively, than your words do. So I guess Francis would probably have a problem with the way that I've defined evangelism. Now, if we want to use this word, evangelism, consistently with respect to the biblical usage, then we've got to do some digging around in the scriptures, and that's one of the things that we're going to be doing today. But immediately, there's a problem. Immediately, there's a problem. Because evangelism, the word, you can flip through all 66 books of the Bible and you won't find the word there. Rather, we're going to have to do some examining of the word or words which our word evangelism comes from, derives from. And then we can get a bit of an idea of what evangelism is about. And then if we say, well, these two things, what's in the Bible and our use of this word evangelism are the same, then we can say, okay, we need to use it in a biblical kind of a way. So to be clear about our method, what word or phrases does evangelism come from? Then second of all, what do those words mean in their context as we look at what the Bible says? And then thirdly, how does this inform our use of that word now? If we want to be people who use the word in a biblical kind of way, how does our study of the Bible help us to do that? So what happens? What happens when we do that kind of thing? What happens when we look for the occurrences of the word gospel or preach the gospel or preach the good news? What happens when we do that? We're going to look at some places where that happens. And the first thing to know is it's not just a New Testament word. I mean, obviously you think, oh, preach the gospel, surely that's going to be in the New Testament. And of course it is. But it's also in the Old Testament. And when the word gospel appears, or when preach the gospel appears in the Old Testament, obviously it's not talking about the message about Jesus. It's actually talking about some momentous news, some news that needs to be announced, some news that is earth-shattering, is groundbreaking. It's heraldic kind of news, if you will. Have a look at these verses from Isaiah. Oops. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the feet on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, or those who preach the gospel, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Or Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Those verses from Isaiah are talking about the proclamation, the announcement, the declaration of good news. It's something to do with words. It's a word event. It's speech. Or if you remember our Old Testament reading from today, which is kind of, you might have thought is a little bit bizarre, why are we reading about this guy who wants so desperately to talk about news? The word there is preach the good news. This messenger wants to go to David to preach the good news to him about the death of Absalom. What the messenger thought was good news, the defeat of the king's enemies. And over in that passage, it talks about preaching the good news, taking the news. So this word is about a speaking kind of thing. It's announcing, it's proclaiming, it's declaring. Or consider Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus preached the gospel. He declared a message. It was a message about the kingdom of God, how to enter the kingdom of God. But again, remember, he spoke it. It's something that he said. It's a word event. It's about announcing, proclaiming, declaring this message. So when we use the word evangelism, if we just fast forward a little bit, it's got to be about speaking. It's got to be about a word event. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. This is Paul speaking to the Galatian church. He says, "I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain." Last passage to think about, our Bible reading for today, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. Paul talks about the gospel that he preached to them. And he also gives us a bit of the content of that gospel as well. In those verses, Paul focuses on Jesus' sin-bearing death and his resurrection to life as the gospel which he proclaims, the one that he has received. Jesus' death on the cross as a sacrifice for sins and his resurrection to life is good news for sinners who are facing eternal punishment. It's good news that Jesus has won forgiveness and reconciliation for those who trust in him. It's great news as we find and read in the New Testament that God rescues sinners because of his mercy and not because of anything that we have done. And we read also as we go through the New Testament that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ and by trusting in him. This is the content of the gospel. This is the gospel that Paul speaks to people. If we think about the book of Acts, this is a book about the progress of the gospel. It's about the apostles being Jesus' witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which is how Jesus charges them in Acts chapter 1. And then what do we find as we read through the book of Acts? How did the apostles witness? Well, they are Jesus' witnesses as they speak to others and tell them about Jesus. Peter preaches that sermon at Pentecost, that famous sermon. The apostles preach the gospel. They explain the significance of Jesus while people are marveling at their healings. Paul preaches in synagogues. He preaches in halls. He preaches on hills. He preaches wherever he goes, and he explains to people about the significance of Jesus. So if we want to use the word evangelism consistently with its biblical roots, then evangelism is about talking to people about Jesus. And by definition, it's something that you do with words. It's to do with words. One other thing to notice from this very brief survey is that it's people who evangelize. It is people who preach the good news. When you look at the examples in the Bible, they're examples of people speaking to other people about Jesus. Which is to say that evangelism is personal, not institutional. Evangelism is personal, not institutional. So a church, if we speak of the church as an institution at this point, and you know, there are varying definitions of what the church is, that's okay. If we talk about the church as an institution, Well, a church fosters an attitude of evangelism amongst its members. A church seeks to equip its members to be able to evangelize. But the members are the ones who do the evangelizing, or the members are the ones who bring people along to church, using a different sense there, to hear the gospel, is it not? Evangelism is something that's ongoing. The book of Acts ends with Paul in Rome preaching the gospel there, but the Christian witness continues, and we are testimony to that, because Paul was in Rome, we're on the other side of the world, and yet the gospel has come to us. We've heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We've heard of God's grace, of God's mercy, of his love demonstrated in Jesus' death on the cross. Christians today preach that gospel because this is how God has chosen to make himself known. It's kind of amazing when you stop to think about it. God entrusts this most momentous task, this most important task of evangelism, of speaking about Jesus, to frail human beings. You see, God could have made gospel trees that explain the gospel, or he could have made gospel cows that explain the gospel, and he could have just said, human beings, hopeless, no good, not going to use them in my plan for explaining the gospel to the world. Gospel trees, gospel cows, gospel clouds, I don't know. God could have done any of those things. But instead, God gives it to humans. God gives it to human beings who get scared and chicken out of saying the hard truth, who say the wrong thing at times, who act hypocritically, frail human beings who sometimes disgrace the name of the triune God. God entrusts it to people who really aren't up to the task, except for the wonderful and awesome and beautiful work of his Holy Spirit. God involves us in this awesome and privileged task. And as we think about evangelism as well, it also shows why that quote from Francis is wrong. Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words is wrong. Gospel preaching is by definition a speech event, a word event, whether that's written word or spoken word. You can't preach the gospel by your deeds. Your deeds might back up what you're saying, but your deeds aren't the gospel. You can't preach the gospel by your deeds because your deeds don't speak. At best, your deeds are ambiguous. They don't explain what God has done in Christ Jesus. That doesn't make them bad or not useful or therefore nothing to be worried about. But we need to have the right order in mind. You see, Christian living is not evangelism. It's not talking about Jesus, but Christian living aids evangelism. It aids evangelism. It is a help. Don't hear me wrong. How you live before God is extremely important. What I am saying is that evangelism, gospel preaching, is a word event. Your deeds aren't evangelism, but they act as a testimony to the truth of what you are saying. Now, about the only possible place that I can think of where the Bible talks about deeds and evangelism as opposed to speech and evangelism is actually the Lord's Supper. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 that when we share in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, which might kind of undo everything that I've said in the last, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, but I don't think so. Because even the Lord's Supper is not bare deed, unexplained deed, deed without words. There are explanatory words along the way, even if it is only repeating what Jesus said at the Last Supper. And as we share in the Lord's Supper later on today, we'll be reminded of what Jesus has done, not just in the Supper, but also from the Scriptures read and taught today. Word events. Now, the next word that we're going to think of, and we won't be spending much time on this, so don't despair, is outreach, or reaching out. So if you do use this term, outreach, reaching out, not everyone uses it, that's okay. What do you mean by it? So what I'd like you to do is take a couple of minutes, turn to the person next to you, and find out what each of you means by this word if you actually use this word. And then I'm going to ask for some responses and then we'll get back into it, okay? So take a minute or so, talk to the person next to you, find out what do you mean by the word outreach, if indeed you do use that word. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Can I have some responses from the floor, as it were? How do people use the word evangelism? What do they mean by it? Outreach. What did I say? Did I say evangelism? I'm hopeless. You should know the answer to that. There should be no dissent. Outreach. What do we mean? What do you mean when you use the word outreach, if you happen to use it? Feel free to yell it out so that I can hear. Connecting with community, okay, all right. Any other ways that people use the word outreach? Okay, it's not implied that it is personal. Okay, sure. Any other? Okay, an example of deeds or actions rather than words. All right, sure. Any other ways that people use the word outreach? There was lots of conversation, so I'm sure there were more than just those two things. And you can. Okay, reaching out to people that you've met to invite them along to a church activity. Okay, good. All right, pre-evangelism. So you might have read some literature that talks about that. There are some good books that talk about that. I can talk to you about those later if you want. Any other ways in which people use the word outreach? Okay, sure. So caring for people, caring for, you know, people who are sad, physical needs of people, that sort of thing. Sure. Any other ways in which people talked about using the word outreach? Okay, I can work with those. Sometimes people use outreach as a synonym for evangelism. Okay, so sometimes people just use them synonymously. Evangelism, outreach, same thing. That's okay, that's fine. No big problem there. But not everyone uses it that way. And we've heard some examples of that just now. The thing is, it's not always clear what a person means when they use the word outreach. So, for example, outreach is making contact with non-Christians. Outreach is the precursor to evangelism. Outreach is helping with physical needs. Outreach is profile raising. Outreach is involvement in the community somehow. Outreach is doing something for non-Christian people to help them out. Now, outreach isn't a Bible word. It's not one that you can find in the scriptures. It's not one that you can derive from a word in the scriptures. So it's a little bit more difficult to be hard and fast about its meaning. But so long as we're clear on what we mean by outreach, then that's okay. We can actually have a fruitful conversation. There's no real problem with people using it in different ways, just so long as we all know what we're talking about. Personally, I use it mostly for those things which lead up to evangelism, pre-evangelism, if you will, but sometimes I'm a bit lazy and I use it for evangelism to mean evangelism too. Now, you don't have to use it that way. I'm not saying, oh, if you use the word outreach, it must be used in this way only. That's not a problem. But what we need to make sure of as we speak about these things is, are we talking about the same thing? Are we talking about the same thing? So, outreach, evangelism, how do these two things interact? What's the relationship between the two? Well, at least in the way that I've defined them or spoken of how I speak of them, they're not identical. They're not identical. The important thing is not to confuse them. The important thing is not to confuse outreach and evangelism. Outreach describes those activities which lead up to evangelism. So outreach on its own is never the point. Outreach on its own is never the point. The goal of outreach is to get to the point where you have the opportunity to speak the gospel to someone. So, for example, consider our involvement at the Wurrunga Fair over the last couple of years. The primary purpose of us being there is not evangelism. Evangelism at the fair is a secondary reason for us to be there, and that's a very good secondary reason to be there. But the primary purpose is outreach insofar as it's profile raising, it's letting people know that we're here and what we're on about. Or if you consider the Election Day sausage sizzle that we had 2 years ago, this is another example of outreach. It's being out there, being involved in the community. It's raising the awareness of the people in this area that our church exists, that our church is alive. It's not just an empty building. If the opportunity arose at the Election Day sausage sizzle or at the Wurrunga Fair to speak the gospel to someone, of course, we take that with both hands and, you know, speak the gospel for all we're worth. But that's not the primary purpose of us being there. And at least initially, part of the reason for that is because we're mostly strangers to the people on Election Day and at the Wurrunga Fair. And that points us to the importance of relationships in evangelism. You see, I think if you surveyed Christians about how they were introduced to Jesus, it would be through a friend or a family member. It's through the network of relationships that we have that people encounter the living God in his living word. My suspicion is that it's relatively rare for someone to just pick up a Bible and read about Jesus and then become a Christian. Although, of course, there are stories of that happening, and those are great stories to hear. But as a pretty general, and I do emphasize pretty general kind of a rule, someone becomes a Christian through a Christian person speaking to a non-Christian friend. And this not only says something about the place of relationships in evangelism, but also again that evangelism is personal as opposed to institutional. You see, it's not so much that the church needs to evangelize more, it's actually that I need to evangelize more, that you need to evangelize more, that we need to evangelize more. What the church needs to do is foster that attitude of helping people to see the greatness of the news, of the need for people to hear that news. What the church needs to do is provide the resources and training for evangelism to happen. See, the fair, the sausage sizzle, those things are one step along the way to having that opportunity to tell someone the gospel. And the gospel is concerned about that most important thing, relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Christians, we're concerned for the salvation of souls. A person's spiritual health is of the utmost importance. As a friend of mine says, a surgeon turned minister, the scalpel sometimes saves, but the gospel always saves. The scalpel sometimes saves, but the gospel always saves. So what should our priority be? What should our priority be when we think about evangelism and outreach? And you might even think, is that even the right question to ask? Can we rank these as one having more of a priority than the other? Part of the confusion comes from what we include in our definition of outreach. See, if we include helping the poor, the widows, the orphans as outreach, then we're actually setting up a situation where we need to choose between two good and binding and valid Bible commands. The Bible talks about Christians helping the poor. James commands his readers to look after the widows and orphans. This is pure religion, which is acceptable in God's sight. This is a command which has a lot of Old Testament precedent. James commands his readers to look after Christian brothers who have physical needs. These are all undeniable biblical commands which are part of Christian living. And you can't rank one Christian area of living over or against another area of Christian living. But if we're talking about picking between things which lead up to evangelism or evangelism itself, then surely you would pick evangelism. The end goal is preaching the gospel to the lost. Salvation of souls is what we're on about. Sausage sizzles and fairs are good along the way and important steps along the way, but they're not the end goal. One of the reasons that we're here is to reach this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we need to make contact with people in the area. Otherwise, we're going to fail miserably as we seek to share the gospel with the people of the area. But it's also fruitful for us to think about the people that we already know. Who are the people that you already know who aren't yet Christians? Are these people that you can share the gospel with? If you don't feel confident to explain the gospel to someone, there are other ways that you can still evangelize. You could give someone a Christian book to read and then offer to meet up with them afterwards to discuss what the book said. Or you could bring your friend to church, or to Bible study, or to youth group. We're going to be working our way through Luke chapter 1 to 9 in church for the next little while. So it's a good time to be inviting your non-Christian friends to church. They're going to hear the gospel. We're reading about Jesus' life. It's going to be rather obvious. It's going to get a mention. And having your non-Christian friends hear the Bible, hear about Jesus' life, as opposed to mere opinions or caricatures or just plain myths about Jesus, is a good thing. If you don't feel confident to explain the gospel to someone, then you can get equipped to do so. There are Bible study series that you can do with your Bible study group to learn how to explain the gospel to someone. Or you can come to me if you would like some hints on how to do that, or if you would like me to do some training with you, or some of the elders to do some training with you. God has been extraordinarily kind to us in saving us through the message of his Son, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's kind in involving us in the spread of that same gospel. May God give us many, many opportunities this year to tell of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great kindness towards us. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're a God who has reached out into time and space in the person of your Son. Father, thank you for sending him as part of your rescue plan to save sinners. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus' death and resurrection. Lord, we thank you too for the way in which you involve us in the spread of that message. Father, we pray that you would give us boldness to speak that message to others. Heavenly Father, we pray that the way that we live would back up what we say in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, please give us your Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we would be bold to speak to the non-Christians we know of the great work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Please stand.